Today on episode number 361 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/361. Since the last time we talked, I've been interviewed a couple of times, so I'm going to share my experience from being interviewed, but in the process, I'm looking at how the people that are interviewing me are preparing for that. So we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but today it's a good time to review being the interviewer and how to prepare if you're the interviewee.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very, very, and by that I mean very much, for taking the time out of your incredibly busy schedule to listen to little old me talk about podcasting. And we talk all things podcasting here, from podcasting gear to recording to planning to producing, monetizing, all points in between. You've come to the right place if you want to listen to things about podcasting. And I'm really glad you're here. I'm here. I'm bringing 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone. My goal here is to leave the jargon for the other people, and let's just talk about things in a fun and entertaining way, shall we? If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can go out to the website, schoolofpodcasting.com. You can see I've got a voicemail button there. You can leave me voicemail with your phone. It's 888-563-3228. You can leave a comment on the blog. You can send me an email, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. And I want to give a shout out to my buddy, Andy. he does the Urbanism Speakeasy podcast, and I was recently interviewed on that. And here's a bit from their website. We want to tap into ordinary people's common sense and pattern recognition skills to help them make their neighborhood and cities better places to live. Now, an old way of doing that is writing op-eds in a local paper, or maybe speaking up at a public hearing for a new road project. A newer method is blogging, but one growing medium is podcasting, and all of a sudden, we've got technology that allows anyone to produce an internet radio show. And that's why they had me on. He even said, hey, I know you're not your, Dave is not the typical kind of guest here. They're normally interviewing like engineers and activists and things like that. I want to be, and I feel I am, a podcast evangelist. I'm going to borrow that phrase from Jim Collison over from theaverageguy.tv. We were talking about that. In fact, Jim's going to come on the show in the future and talk about podcast evangelism. And so, yeah, it's nice to go on other podcasting shows and things like that. But if you want to introduce podcasting to your audience, and maybe they're not as geeky as, well, I don't know, this audience is pretty geeky. I'm your man. I will talk to anybody about podcasting because I love podcasting. All right, if you are new to the show, I always like to just jump right into the content. And today, I've been calling these clips of the week when I find something else in another podcast that I'm listening to that kind of ties into the information that we're talking here. This is a new podcast from Rob Greenlee. It's called My Digital Life. I really like it. He's only on episode 5, but some of it is podcasting related. Now, Rob is the guy behind Microsoft when it comes to podcasting. In fact, if you want your podcast listed in kind of their iTunes area, it's in the Xbox and things of that nature, which you can hear Rob talk about over at schoolofpodcasting.com/354. And if you want your podcast listed in that area, again, you can just send your email to podcasts@microsoft.com with your RSS feed and all that information. And he is kind of talking about podcasting. He was also talking about his life. Like, he did this whole thing on his electric car, but he was interviewing this woman from Germany about how podcasting is global. And I've always said for years that when your audience finds your podcast, they're going to go, oh my gosh, I've been looking for this. And here is Nicole being interviewed by Rob on My Digital Life. And listen to what she has to say.
It was the 15th October of 2004. I was on the Engadget website. I pressed play on a web player, and it hit me after 15 seconds. Oh, my God, I can have free English content as much as I want in the topics I want, because I'm interested in tech. I'm interested in the nerd stuff, and I can have hours and hours of audio input. And I started really listening for, I would say, 2 years, several hours a day to all kinds of podcasts, and I was happy.
And she was happy, right? I love the way that ends. The other thing I want to do here is I always like to spotlight members of the School of Podcasting. And in this case, I'm going to point out, I've talked about Robert Chaz Chute. You can find him at allthatchaz.com, but he started a new podcast called the Cool People Podcast. You can find it at coolpeoplepodcast.com. And if you're kind of tired of, you know, for me, it seems like every comedian is interviewing comedians, and it always seems like the same people are getting interviewed and things like that. Well, Rob has gone out and found some really cool people. In fact, let me go over to this one page. He's interviewed somebody who was a judge in a cannabis contest. That's got to be a little different. He's gotten some great people that have talked about the drug problem in the U.S. He's talked to some different authors, a couple different actors. And in this clip, he's doing a kind of a cool intro where you go in and you kind of play clips from an interview to entice people to listen to the rest of the interview. Oh, and here's one I definitely have to listen to. I love it because it's in episode 7, he interviews an erotic author, and I didn't know there was such a thing, Feminist Porn Awards. Interesting. I got to check that episode out. Feminine porn, two words you don't really, feminist porn, two things you normally don't see side by side. Again, interesting, cool people, not the typical norm. And in this episode, he is interviewing, easy for me to say, I believe her name is Sherman Cruz. She's a Chicago lawyer, and she's basically an expert on foreign policy. And let's listen to just a bit of this episode as he kind of does the teaser here.
You're listening to the Cool People Podcast.
I think you should get a gold star. Every time your podcast is banned in an aggressive conservative country, you should get a gold star.
If you're going to tell people the truth, you better make them laugh, otherwise they'll kill you.
Women are in the United States have consistently over the last 15 years lost and lost and lost and lost and lost, and their reproductive rights have been chipped away consistently. I'll turn around and kiss the person standing next to you. Guards members, the Revolutionary Guards members, disarmed his team and took their communication equipment, confiscated them, and then Ahmadinejad was forced to enter the office building, and he was questioned and interrogated.
Pop quiz, hotshot. Did you know that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, was arrested recently? That's right. Ahmadinejad was arrested recently. Look, I don't blame you if you didn't know about it, because a lot of people didn't know about it because the media didn't cover it that widely. However, in this podcast, you're going to find out a lot more about it. Hi, I'm your host, Robert Chaz Chute, and today I have a great guest. It's Sherman Cruz. Sherman is a citizen of Iran, Canada, and the United States. She's a lawyer and the co-founder and a director of the Pasfarda Arts and Cultural Organization. Today, we're going to get a lot more understanding about Middle East politics, U.S. foreign policy, U.S. politics domestically, and we're also going to talk about Syria, Iran, Israel, Iraq. There's a lot on the plate. Let's get right into it, because Sherman Cruz is a very well-informed guest. She's a regular advice columnist for the Chicago Lawyer magazine, contributes to scholarly legal articles, and she's a frequent lecturer on foreign policy issues. And that's what we're going to get into right now.
And there you go. The Cool People Podcast. You can find that coolpeoplepodcast.com. And as always, you'll hear this a lot. If anything I talk about today, you can find out in the show notes. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/361.
Hi, this is Dr. Dave of the Shrink Wrap Radio Psychology Podcast at shrinkwrapradio.com. And class is in session with Dave Jackson of the School of Podcasting.
All right, next up, I was very honored to be interviewed on the Entrepreneur on Fire podcast. You can find that at eofire.com. I mean, this is a podcast that has had Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, Tim Ferriss, just to name a couple. And the host is John Lee Dumas. Super duper nice guy. Incredibly nice guy. An incredibly passionate man. And so I was impressed in both ways that I was approached by these gentlemen. I thought I would share, kind of, if you're thinking of doing a show about interviews, here are some tips and tricks on both setting up the interview, as well as I'm going to show you what I did on my side to get ready for these. All right, we ready for that? Good. All right. So, number one, I'm going to primarily deal with John's. John's was easier to document. And this is nothing against Andy's, but I don't want to keep flipping and flopping back. So we're just going to deal with the process for John's here. And I got an email back in April to be interviewed in June for a show that will air in July. Let's repeat that again. I was asked to be interviewed in April, 2 months ahead of time. Okay, June comes, I get interviewed, and it's going to be published in July. So what do we learn from this? John is planning way, way ahead. Way, way, way ahead. Okay, now why does John do this? Here's something that John is insane. He's crazy. He does a daily podcast, a daily half-hour podcast. Now, why is that insane? It's a lot of work to do a podcast. I always say, for 1 minute of podcast, plan on spending about 4 minutes. So John does a 30-minute podcast, which means he spends about 2 hours every day on his podcast. Okay, so I want to read you the email I got here. And from this, we're going to learn tips on how to entice people to be on your show, and also how to kind of approach people. It says, Dave, first things first, he had my name. It wasn't dear sir, it wasn't dear producer, it was, hey, here's somebody who obviously took the 5 seconds to listen to the beginning of the show where it says, I'm your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, and they went, okay, his name's Dave, right? Now, I briefly, and I mean briefly, met John Lee Dumas at the New Media Expo. He sat behind me in one of the sessions, and everybody was talking about this new guy. He had just started a podcast. He was just a networking guru. Just everybody was meeting him, saying hi. He was telling people about his podcast. Here's what I'm going to do. So here we go. And that basic thing of promotion. Go out, meet people, be friends with them. Oh, and then tell them about your podcast. So here's the email I got. I would be thrilled if you would join me on Entrepreneur on Fire, a top-ranked business podcast averaging over 200,000 unique downloads. And by the way, that number now is closer to 250,000 downloads each month in over 145 countries. I'm going to stop there. Okay, now, number one, that's impressive numbers, but I do believe it's 250,000 downloads. And you notice it's 200 unique downloads each month. 200,000, I'm going to stick with his old numbers, divide that by 20 episodes a month, that is 10,000 downloads an episode. And I believe that's 250,000, if I remember right. So he's quoting the monthly number, not to be, you know, like I said, his daily numbers are, wow, impressive. But it sounds really impressive if you quote the monthly ones, right? So in over 145 countries, I know you are busy. And that's why Entrepreneur on Fire is an easy 30-minute only interview over Skype. So he's letting you know how much time you're probably going to spend. So 30-minute interview, I plan on spending about 45 minutes to an hour. And he kind of got in. We went through the interview and talked for a little bit before and after, but pretty much didn't waste any time. And so again, he's saying, look, I know you're busy. Says, we've had incredible guests such as Seth Godin, Tim Ferriss, Gary Vaynerchuk, Barbara Corcoran, Guy Kawasaki, Chris Brogan, and Eric Reese. They've shared their inspiring journey with Fire Nation. He says, I would be honored if you would be willing to share your journey, as it will surely inspire our listeners. As an officer in the U.S. Army for 8 years, I saw firsthand just how valuable motivation and direction can be, particularly during my 13-month tour of duty in Iraq, which is why I'm so passionate about paying it forward. If you accept, I will be humbled, as your story will inspire everyone it touches as well. See, and we are well on our way to inspiring millions here at Entrepreneur on Fire. Here's the link where you can schedule a time that works for you. So, number one, it's written in a very respectful way, respectful of my time, respectful of my story, and explaining why he wants me to come on. So I was like, wow, that's really cool. And it kind of gets me to know a little bit about him. I've got respect for him just because the guy did a tour of Iraq. So I'm kind of like, wow, I want to meet this guy. Right? So very cool email, got me going. And the other thing I thought was interesting is I've done my research on John. His website is entrepreneuronfire.com. But he knows that most people can't spell entrepreneur. And for the record, it's E-N-T-R-E-P-R-E-N-E-U-R. So he has eofire.com as well. Very smart on that one. And but I'm sure he picked that name because that's part of his Google juice, right? So I got that email 2 months beforehand again. Once I got interviewed, it'll be coming out in a month. And I'll be telling you about that, just as I told you about me being on the Urban Speakeasy podcast now. And so he also sent me a list of questions. Now, John did something, and he's going to be, that's the other thing, it's a cool thing. In talking with John, at the end of it, I'm like, dude, I got to get you on my show. Because he came out like a bullet on steroids when he launched his podcast, a daily podcast with incredible guests. I read his book, Podcast Launch. I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. It's an interesting story. And I listened, well, we'll talk about that in a second, but he's coming on the show. So I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes now, but we're going to get the behind the scenes from John himself in the future. So stay tuned, right? So the beauty of this is it set the tone. He sent me the questions and I looked at the questions. And originally, if you go back to previous episodes of the School of Podcasting, I was not a big fan of sending people questions. And I base that, unfortunately, on one experience I had that wasn't the best. And that is I sent somebody the questions ahead of time once. And when I asked the question, they answered them like this because they had prepared them ahead of time and they were ready to answer the question. And it wasn't really so much a conversation anymore as I could tell that they had planned out their answers and they were reading them back to me. And I was like, ugh, I am not sending anybody the questions ahead of time. I'm going to change my mind on that. You heard me. I'm changing my mind. It's my right, doggone it. And that is, John sent me these questions and it let me, number one, I thought about this. You're going to get better answers if you give people the questions. Let them cheat. What is this? Going to be a test? Hey, let's see how fast they can think on their feet, right? Here's the question. Ha, it's a tough one. I bet you wish you would have thought ahead of this one. And I'm like, you know, I understand what I'm trying to avoid. I don't want somebody reading their answers back to me. But I kind of made that decision based on one bad experience. And maybe that was a little tough. And I found then, once I got interviewed by John, he actually asked the same question of every single guest. And we're going to find out why when he comes on the show. But it's an interesting concept. It's an interesting platform then. But I also found out something, that while he gives me a list of about, I don't know, 5 to 10 questions, he also then, because it was a conversation, threw in things. He would listen to my answer and either dig in a little deeper or maybe go, oh, that was kind of cool. Let's go a little tangent. And so the questions were kind of a game plan. This is where we're going to go. This is what we're aiming at. But occasionally he would go outside the lines, thus making it a conversation. So to me, it was the best of both worlds. It was, I know what to expect. I can see what he's looking for. And yet, when it actually came down to the interview, yes, we hit those questions, but we also had conversation. So when I do my interviews now, I'm going to, like, when I interview John, I'm thinking now of my questions. Now, I don't have the, I guess, luxury that John does where he has the same questions in every show, but I'm planning ahead. I'm doing my homework and saying, this is the resource I have that is John Lee Dumas coming on my show. What do I want to pull out of this guy? I know his story. I know his background. I know how he started his podcast, and I want to go deeper into that. I want to know what it's like. I want to know what his day. I know the day I spoke to him, he had done 9 interviews that day. So we're going to talk about with John, what does it take to have a podcast that is getting over almost basically 250,000 downloads a month? So what are some of the hurdles then of when you are the interviewer? Well, I can tell you from the interviews that I've done, and I like doing interviews because it's people. I don't know. I like talking to people. I like talking to people about podcasting. I like learning from people. I like getting different viewpoints. But one of the things that always, the number one thing that messes up interviews isn't a lack of planning on either the interviewer or the interviewee. It is this lovely thing called time zones. And I would say about once every 2 months, I get an interview. I call them up. I'm like, hey, it's that time. Actually, we're a little late. It's 5 after when we're supposed to get. And they go, oh, what time is it there? And I'm like, it's, you know, whatever time. It's 7 o'clock. Oh, it's 3 o'clock here. I thought you meant whatever, PST. And I'm on EST or they're on ABC or whatever, right? Time zones. So if you're going to be doing something with interviews, save yourself the hassle and state up front, this is the time. It is such and such. Now, in my case, I'm Eastern Standard Time. So I tell everybody, what's really weird is it's not usually the East Coast, West Coast here in America or whatever, East Coast Australian or East Coast Britain or East Coast, whatever global difference it is. It's always the ones that are like, if I interview somebody like in Austin, they're like an hour behind me. It's the weird ones because you're like, oh yeah. So realize when you talk to somebody, figure out where they are and let's nail down that time zone thing. Now, the thing that I think John is doing that makes sense, how many people are going to go, hey, I'd like to interview you in 2 months. And people go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm booked. I'm just way booked ahead of time. Yeah. 2 months ahead of time. I've got, you know, so that's a good move in my book. He's planning out so far ahead. I doubt that he has people go, I'm sorry, I'm busy that day. And plus he gave me multiple times. Would you like 7 p.m.? Would you like this p.m.? Would you like that? And by the way, his times are PST because he's somewhere out on the West Coast. So if you're trying to eliminate hurdles of getting guests, book them months in advance because they probably don't have things on their calendar. So that's another thing we can learn from John's email. He explains why and who he is, and then he asks way, way in advance so people's calendars aren't full. Now, John is using a thing called, it's at, depending on where you go, it's either meetme.so or scheduleonce.com. And it ranges from anywhere from free, if you want to just dip your toe in it, to all the way up to $30 a month. I could see the average podcaster using the $10 a month program. And it basically gives you have bookings with approval. You have email reminders. Email reminders are going to be huge here. But email reminders you can get for $5 a month. And that would be a big key here. So what makes things hard with interviews are the fact that if you do schedule somebody ahead of time, and I'm guilty of this on both the interviewer side and the interviewee side, is if you schedule it so far in advance, you're going to forget depending on your dependency on your calendar. Now, I check my calendar every morning, every Sunday. I kind of look at my schedule going out for the following week and things like that because life gets in the way and things pop up and all of a sudden you're like, oh, was that today? So it's a if you can have some sort of tool, and if you don't have a tool, then do this manually, set it up. If you use iCloud, that's the Apple thing, you can have little, you can have a calendar there. You can use your Google Calendar and you can set up reminders and things like that. That's another way you can do it, right? You can use Google Calendar. That's free. And I believe you can invite people if they have a Google account there and have it set to set reminders, but you need to send a reminder. Not that people are forgetful or they don't value the opportunity to be interviewed by you. It's this lovely thing called life. We get busy, we get whatever, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, you know, do you remember what you were doing in April? I don't. And consequently, if you scheduled it 2 months ago, you might forget. So have some sort of reminder system set up. Now, I use a thing called VCITA, I believe is how you pronounce it. It's VCITA. They do have an affiliate program. Now, I think I'm using the $15 a month plan on theirs. And the thing I like about them is they have scheduling. This is how I have people schedule if they want to do one-on-one coaching with me. And so it has a contact form as well as built-in scheduling. So I really like it. And I have it set up to remind people a day before the interview and I believe an hour before the appointment. So when they sign up, they do that. And I, after looking at this, I do put in here, hey, it's EST. Again, I just reminded that, hey, it's Eastern Standard Time on that. And I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe the system looks at what time zone they are in when they open it up on their machine and converts it. I believe that is part of the features of that. So reminders are huge because of time zones and, it's just something you don't want to neglect. So from an interview standpoint, if you want to get people on your podcast, schedule ahead of time, tell them, let them know, you know, why they should come on the show. Why you were picked is another one. You know, why do you want this person to come on? What do you think they have that would benefit their audience? And then explain to them how they're going to benefit from your audience. So in my case, he said 200,000 unique downloads a month. And then be cautious, be observant of time zones, and be sure to send a reminder to your guest as well as you for that matter. And for better results, have some questions ahead of time, maybe not every single one of your questions, but give them an idea of what kind of questions to expect, because it's really not going to benefit your audience to see how light they are on their feet, how well they come up with questions or answers in this case off the top of their head. When I interviewed Daniel J. Lewis a couple episodes ago, I had sent him some questions. Why? Because when he had sent me, when I was interviewed on his show, he had sent me some questions. So I'm of that school of thought now to give some people an idea of the target you're looking for. So that's my quick tips on being an interviewer. And I guess the last tip I would say there is when you're doing the interview, listen. The idea also of a good interview, you're bringing them on as an expert. You're bringing them on to share a story. You're bringing them on for some reason. You want them to talk on your show. It's not about you. I actually have done consulting with people. And number one, it's your podcast. You can do what you want. But I do audio editing for some people. If you're a person, you're like, look, I just want to record the audio. You do the rest. I can do that for you as well. But it's interesting because I've heard people that are like, they're doing interviews and they're like, hey, don't forget to let me get in there too. And I was like, ooh, that's a different kind of point of view. But that's okay. If you want to be seen as an expert, right, you got to get your little voice in there as well. But for the most part, you want your guests to talk, right? All right, now I want to talk about being interviewed a bit. And so here again, your goal is to create great content. And as somebody who has been a teacher, as a public speaker for a while, rule number one, know your audience. Can't say that enough. Know your audience. Know who you're talking to. Why? Because if I'm talking to a little more technical crowd, I might be able to get away with some geek speak. I might be able to throw out the phrase RSS feed and kind of know that they're talking about it. But if I'm talking to a completely non-technical audience, I'm going to change the way I describe things. Know your audience. So when I got contacted, you know, by Andy to be on the Urbanism Speakeasy podcast, again, urbanismspeakeasy.com, I was like, huh? I didn't get it. And I went over, and if you're not familiar with a person who's asked you to be on their show, go listen to their podcast. Why? Know your audience. Know who you're talking to. So I went over, listened to a couple episodes, went over to, the first thing I did, which I'm kind of glad, I did this not by planning, but I'm glad I did. I went down, I got John's pre-printed questions, and I jotted down some bullet point answers. And I'm glad I did, because when I went back and listened to previous shows of his, I saw where he was asking the same questions. And I'm glad, because I had my answers pre-influenced of what other people were saying. Because my answers in some cases are really different than other people's. And I might have been tempted to go, oh, well, I kind of want to fit in with the other people that have been interviewed. And I'm like, no, I want to be Dave Jackson. So by knowing your audience, you can kind of have an idea of what you want to talk about. The other thing you can do with your answers is, I can't wait to go back and listen to John's interview of me, because the first thing is, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about your business. Now, I did not put any bullet points down for this answer. Why? Because I kind of know me and I kind of know my business, and I'm pretty sure I botched this answer. I'm thinking, I don't think I mentioned how it's a website that teaches you how to podcast with step-by-step tutorials and resources and personalized help via email. I'm like, I don't think I said that. I think I talked about how I started the School of Podcasting, and I'm assuming that with a name like School of Podcasting, people know that it's a place where you learn, hence the phrase school podcasting. I think people can put that together, but I don't really think I said what it was. And I'm like, you know what? In the future, I might want to make some highlights of here, Dave Jackson. I'm in Cleveland. I'm a guitarist. I'm a teacher, and I'm a podcast consultant. You know what I mean? Just kind of don't leave so many things up to chance. Don't script them out so that I'm going, I'm glad you asked that question, John. Let me tell you, no, I don't want to read my answer, but I don't know that I want to wing anything either. Even on the easy ones, like, what is your name? So know your answers, know what you want to answer, and maybe write up some bullet points, some things that you want to be sure to mention, so that when the interview is over, you don't go, oh, I forgot to mention blah, blah, blah. Because you kind of get one shot at the interview. So make sure, again, just things you can look at, not so much quote and read, but just little things. It's like, because you know that question's coming. So just have some little bullet points that you can read. I was actually nervous for John's show. I thought, wow, this is entrepreneurs are, that's my target market. That's one of them. These are people that are trying to get the word out. These are people that are trying to build community. These are people that are trying to understand their customers and things like that. I'm like, wow, these are people that should be podcasting. Don't blow it. And so I was a little nervous, and I'm kind of glad I was, because it made me sit down and think about what is a good answer here. What do I want to point out and things like that? So think about your answers ahead of time, and think about them not from your point of view, but from who? Your audience. Know your audience and think, does this answer, is this something that they're going to go, wow, that's good content. I got to tell other people about this guy because, wow, he's got good content. The other thing you might want to do, and here again, be very cautious with this, is if you say, all right, these are the bullet points, and you're writing down bullet points just for giggles, not to memorize them, not to make them set in stone, but whip through your answers once just to make sure the words can come out of your mouth. Make sure they match your audience, and make sure when you go to say them that there aren't any tongue twisters and things like that. Just make sure it flows. And like anything else, a little practice never hurt. I know back in the day when I was looking for a job, I was ready for tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, it wasn't a script. It wasn't the same answer every time, but it was something that I had practiced. And maybe you should have some of those ready to go so that you can easily say them without a bunch of ums, without a bunch of you knows, and in a way that will benefit their audience. The other thing, and I didn't need to do this in either case of Andy or John, but it's something that's not a bad idea. If you're being interviewed and you don't get a reminder email from your if you're the interviewee, if you don't get an email reminding you about the interviewer, you know, your interview tomorrow with so-and-so, you might want to email them to say, just wanted to make sure I'm really excited about our interview tomorrow at whatever time about such and such. And I want to make sure this is your Skype ID. This is your phone number. However you're going to connect, make sure that just wanted to double confirm everything again. There's nobody on the planet is going to go, man, is that annoying? No, it shows that from you being the interviewee that you value the opportunity to be on somebody's show, that you value the time of that person. You don't want to waste their time and you want to make sure you're on the same page. I don't know anybody that's doing interviews that would go, oh, that Dave Jackson, he double confirms everything. No, I don't. It's a very courteous thing to do. And it shows that you appreciate the opportunity. So again, if they don't have some sort of system in place and you haven't got a reminder, you might want to remind them, because in some cases, they might forget. I would also, something that I do now is I'm going to start giving out my phone number to people I interview. Now, I have one on my website, obviously, and so it's not a big deal. But that way, in the event, my problem, I can't imagine what this would be like in other cities. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, basically about 7 miles west of it. And there are times, like they just recorded the movie, the new Captain America movie. They actually filmed that here in Cleveland, and they shut down one of our highways. And traffic became an absolute nightmare for 2 weeks. And I was always worried anytime I had a right after work, kind of early evening interview, that I was going to get home in time. So in the future, we'll say if something happens between now and then, please call me or email me, because life is going to happen. You are going to have cancellations. I was listening to the Music Biz Weekly podcast, and these poor guys get cancellations all the time. And in some cases, just minutes before the interview is supposed to happen. And they're actually recording a live podcast, which is another kind of a thing to think about for those of you that like, oh, I want to be a radio show. I want to do live. Yeah, well, you better make sure that the people you're interviewing aren't going to bail 3 minutes before you hit the record button. But there will be cancellations. It's just things that happen. And likewise, if you need to cancel something and you're the interviewer, the thing you want to do here, and this is something, if I go back to my customer service days, if you have to deliver bad news, the sooner you can deliver that bad news, the best. And you're like, what? Why would I? It's not that you want to deliver bad news, but if you say, look, I'm sorry, I can't do this interview, the sooner you know that, the better, because then those people can plan accordingly. So I'll give you an example. The last episode of the Podcasters Roundtable, episode number 15, Ray and Daniel had contacted me, and here again, life got in the way. Ray, I believe, has jury duty or something was going on, and the only day that was available that we could do it was going to be a Friday. Well, Friday, it turns out I was celebrating my wedding anniversary. So, you know, as soon as I saw that email come through and I knew I wasn't going to make it, I let them know, hey, wish I could do it, can't do it. And then they could plan accordingly. I'm like, here are some people that you might want to have come in, because there's going to be obviously an empty chair, things of that nature. So anytime you have to deliver bad news, the sooner the better. And I always used to, when I used to teach customer service classes, I always used to say, if you think about it, when you have to wait here in the States, if you have cable TV turned on, what happens is the cable companies will say, can you be at your establishment between 8 and 3? And you're like, ugh, sure, fine. So you basically have to take a day off work to wait for the cable guy. And I say, I always tell people, if the cable company really wanted to boost their customer satisfaction, because you want cable, right? You want it now. You want it at 8 a.m. If they had said, hey, here's when we're going to come install the cable, it'll be between 2 and 3. Now, on one hand, that's bad news because you want your cable turned on at 8 in the morning because, you know, whatever, Judge Wapner's on or whoever's on, Judy, Roy, whatever, right? The new episode of whatever's on. When they tell you it's not going to be turned on till 2, that's, quote, bad news. But if you give your customer bad news ahead of time, they can plan accordingly is the bottom line of that. They can plan accordingly. So anytime you have to deliver bad news in a situation like this, the sooner the better. Don't run away from it. Don't try to hide and just say, oh, I really don't want to, I don't want to let them down. Nobody wants to let other people down. I understand that. But the sooner you can deliver any kind of not so great news, the better, because then those people can plan accordingly. So in the case of your interview, we, if you say, hey, I know we were set for next Thursday. I forgot it's, you know, my great nephew's birthday and, you know, I really got to be there. It's a family thing. I'm sorry. I completely forgot about it. It's completely my fault. Can we reschedule such and such? Not only by being honest and apologizing for that, that you'll probably get a reschedule, but number two, by telling them ahead of time, they might be able to then be interviewed on somebody else's show, or they know ahead of time to where they can make that time useful. The other thing I wanted to point out about, we talked about giving people the questions ahead of time. That's fine. And I like this idea now, and this is how I'm going to be doing interviews, is having a game plan, having a list of, you know, 5 to 10 questions, depending on how long your show is, obviously. And that is kind of a game plan. This is where I plan on going. But if in the middle of my podcast, somebody throws out something and I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. Really? Tell me about that. I'm going to chase in some cases. What is it? You go down that rabbit hole, people say. If it's something that, again, my audience, it's always about your audience, is going to like, if it's something that my audience is going to benefit from, then by all means, follow that rabbit trail, go down the rabbit hole and go there. And the great thing about it is once you get done with that topic, by having a list of set questions, you can always go back to that. And I've actually said that, I think, from day one. Always have an idea of what you want to ask. I just don't think I gave it to the interviewee before. Now, when you actually go to do the interview and you hook up with people, what I usually do is have a little bit of chit-chat. How's it going? How was your day? Get a feel of how they're doing. Again, kind of maybe remind them, hey, here's who your audience is. Here's kind of what I'm looking for, that kind of thing. And then what I believe with John, there was something when I signed up for his, when I accepted his appointment, it basically said, hey, you're being recorded and you are hereby giving me permission to use this recording in pretty much whatever fashion I want, because John has a membership site. And I think that's just his way of saying, look, if I want to make this part of my membership site in the future, I can do this. I don't have to pay you. I don't have to, and I don't care. I mean, I'm just saying that's the kind of thing you need to do sometimes, is to say, hey, here's, you know, I have full rights to do whatever I want with this content. So if he wants to use it in a book, if he wants to use it on a membership site, if he wants to whatever, he has my full blessing to do that. And that's pretty standard. So what I've been doing in the past is when I interview somebody, I usually try at the end to say, is there anything in this interview that you would like to either remove or you would like to do again? Things of that nature. And most people, if you've just had a fun conversation, are like, no, that's fine. And then say, okay. And if you can, I always try to give a copy of the interview, even not in some cases, I will go through and I will edit out the interview. That's the other thing I do. I'll throw that in here as well. I want my guest to sound as good as they can. And so what I will do is when I record the interview, now if you're on a Mac, there is a a program called Call Recorder for Mac. And what's great about that is you can record you in one channel and your guest in the other. That makes it super easy for editing. I think it's like $15. I'm on a PC, so I use a thing called PowerGramo that allows me to do that as well. I also, the way I record my Skype calls is I use my Audio-Technica 2100 microphone. You can find that at schoolofpodcasting.com/2100. And I take a cord and go out of the headphone, out of that microphone, into the line in of my portable recorder. I then plug my headphones into the headphones out on the recorder, and I hit record. And whatever I hear is whatever I'm recording. So I have two recordings going in case one goes sour. But I then make sure my guest sounds good. So here, if I think about it, in the past where I didn't give people the questions ahead of time, you might get your fair share of kind of noises. Why? Because they didn't know the questions were coming, and now you're forcing them to think on their feet. And I would go through, because again, I want my guest to sound good, I'd go through and cut those out. I would cut out the ums and you knows. And the other thing I would listen for is a thing I call over answers. And I know I've mentioned this in the past, so I apologize if you're a regular listener for the repeat here. But what an over answer is if you say, well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business. And they do, and they tell you about your business, and you're thinking, okay, the next question is going to be, let's see, should I go here or should I go there? So there's this awkward pause between you and the interviewee, and they hear that on their end as, I want more info. So they might go back into a little more depth on their business or whatever it is the question was, and really, you didn't need that. You just hadn't figured out what you were going to ask next. I call that an over-answer, and those I usually go in and cut out. The other thing I do is I always listen through the ears of my audience. I remember once I had an interview and I asked a question. Let's say I said, why don't you tell me about your podcast? And they go, great, Dave. I'd love to. Let me tell you my story first. I love that. I'm like, okay. And I'll let them do that. And if in the end, their story doesn't really, if I listen through that through the ears of my listener, and I go, I don't know that that adds value to the answer, or, you know what I mean? You'll ask question A and they'll go, oh, well, I want to answer question D. And you're like, I didn't ask question D. In some cases, I will take that out. So I want my guest to sound great, but I want all the content to be relative for my audience. Now, back in episode number 327, I talked about how if you're using Audacity, which is a free software program that you can use on both a Mac and a PC to record your podcast, you can actually go through and speed up the audio, which makes editing a little easier. You get actually kind of used to listening on a faster speed, and then you can hear those ums and you knows and things of that nature. The other thing you can do that I've had in some cases where I will have my list of questions, I'll be interviewing somebody, and I'm listening so much that when their answer is done, I thought I had a question ready. I put it in the chamber. I'm ready to go. And then I go into complete listening mode, and they get done with their answer, and I forget what I'm going to ask them. And there's this awkward pause, and I will just say in the recording, okay, this is going to be edit point number one because I can't remember what I was going to ask you. I get my bearings again, and then here's the key. Anytime you have a train wreck in a podcast, or if you have a guest that says, ooh, can I do that again? Here's the key to make this super easy. Pause for 10 seconds. So if you have a portable recorder going, just say, great, we're going to pause for 10 seconds, and then I'll ask it again, or whatever it is. But just do a pause. Why? Because it's super easy to spot if you're doing post-editing. And this is one of the, again, another thing why I'm not a huge fan of live podcasting. Live interviews would be, wow. That's one advantage, I think, of doing things post-production, because I think most guests, the number one fear of people is speaking in public. And so when it's just speaking you and your guest, they might be a little less nervous. And then you could always play the interview live whenever it is you go live. But pause for 10 seconds. It makes audio editing super easy in the event that there was a little boo-boo there that you need to clean up. So again, from the interviewer part, I'm getting confused on which hat I'm wearing. From the interviewee part, number one, know your audience. Number two, go listen to some of their episodes so you really know what you're getting into and can have a gist of the tone, I guess you could say, of the podcast. Are they super serious? Do they yuck it up a bit? Things like that might help you shape their answer. So know your audience, know the podcast, know the tone of the voice. Have some questions somewhat prepared, but not memorized. You don't want it to be a memorized answer when you say, thank you, Jill, for asking that. I'm so glad you did. No, have it ready so it flows off the tongue. Make sure you've kind of practiced it a little bit so it doesn't sound, for lack of a better phrase, unrehearsed, so that you're providing good content. This is an opportunity to get the word out there, so take a little time and get that set. The other thing that I cannot say enough as an interviewee, ask the person, when will this be out? So in the case of Andy let me know. And he said, it's going to be out probably such and such. I said, Andy, be sure and send me a link to where I can listen to it and so that I can talk about it here in my podcast. So go over to urbanismspeakeasy.com or maybe, yeah, it's the urbanismspeakeasy.com. And I'll just put a link to that out in my show notes at schoolofpodcasting.com/361. So that's my thoughts on both sides of the microphone. Like I said, John Lee Dumas will be on the show in the very near future. And if you have a question for John, let's do that. I've never done that. If you have a question for John, you can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, or just leave a comment out in our show notes at schoolofpodcasting.com/361. And that is going to do it for today's show. I want to always remind you that if you're looking to start a podcast, I've got step-by-step tutorials. I've got resources. I've got little old me to help you along every inch of the way to get your podcast started in the right direction. If you're looking to sign up, just use the coupon code LISTENER and get a discount out at schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, I'm always looking for those because of my podcast stories. You can email them in. It's dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call them in, 888-563-3228. Use the voicemail button out at the website, or just use the contact page out there, or leave a comment at the blog. And again, everything today is at schoolofpodcasting.com/361. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and remind you that it's time to start living a life worth podcasting about. We'll see you again next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Till then, class is dismissed. Take care. God bless. I've been interviewed the last couple of times. Oh, geez, that's horrible. Since the last time we spoke, I've been interviewed. Really? Seriously? That's the best you can do? Slow down. Fire! Every time I hear that, every time I say the word fire, I hear the guy from AC/DC. And actually, I don't actually hear the guy from AC/DC. I hear Artie Lang from The Howard Stern Show, who was imitating the guy from AC/DC. He was just a ball of, obviously, gosh, that math isn't hard. That's 50,000 downloads an episode. Actually, and it's just fun to say Guy Kawasaki. Go ahead, say it. See, Guy Kawasaki, it's fun. Fire! Particularly during my 13-month tour of Dury. It's one of those days where, you know, I showed up, my tongue hasn't quite made it here yet. So hopefully by the end of the show, my tongue will make it into my mouth and actually behave. Fire!